Blog Talk Radio.
About to bring the power and power of my son, my son. Well, Father God. Well, tribes rising up. Well,
tribes. Yeah. Who it is?
House of the Redeemed Servant.
Yabba Shimmy, I was Shabarakata.
Hey,
tell them all, Ock. Yeah, Baraka Kaya, Hawa Ba Shama Mashiach, Hawa Shai.
What's up, Ock? Yo, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
It's cracking, Ock.
Yah Ba Shimi, Yahwa Shah, Baraka Tha.
Yeah.
Kwam Yashirala, giving all praise to the Abanawa, Yahwa Ba Shama Mashiach, Yahwa Shai.
Shama Mashiach, Yahwa Shai.
Jeremiah.
Hold up.
Please say to Yah.
Got that boy Baraka Tha with me.
House of the
Redeemed. Are you ready for the race for us?
Let's get it.
Bring it on.
Heroes are coming, heroes are coming, yeah. Heroes are coming, heroes are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000. Heroes are coming, heroes are coming, yeah. Heroes are coming, heroes are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000. We ain't playing, yeah, standing on these coolers, yeah. We taking games, yeah, put them in the Bible, yeah. Ezekiel 37, greatest seeding army, yeah. Come see what we about, we'll change your route, we moving out. You my battle axe, and weapons of war, what you waiting here for? Come see what the hell you're facing, with D, he'll break the nation. Sound like a little revelation, heard players coming 1 hour. Utterly burnt, we will devour, Yahweh Shai, who's the power? As you can see, you ain't dealing with no monkeys. We want our money, you gon' pay us for slavery. We mad as hell, but we ain't take no apologies. You say you're sorry, just go get out that money. Reparations, boy, we want our reparations. Separation, boy, we want our separation. We want our own flag, we gonna get our own flag. But keep your damn sin, just keep all of your damn sin.
Oh my God.
Heroes are coming, coming. Heroes are coming, yeah. Heroes are coming,
coming, coming.
Heroes are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. Heroes are coming,
coming.
Heroes are coming, yeah. Heroes are coming,
coming.
Heroes are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000.
Hit down or lay down. Be about it or be without it. Cut us in or cut it out. Yasha Allah on the Kwam now. We woke up, y'all so stuck in eight. We got next on this Exodus, and it's a good feeling. I'm with the killer. Give me the Edomite, I'm a whipping feeling. What you talking to Howard? I was thought for something. He's an awful something. You got a beat coming. It's no sweet loving facts. Run to hell that. 145,000 whips on your back. And the slain of the Lord,
those mine enemies,
they shall be
would
me.
Not that I should reign over them, bring him hither, and slay them before me.
Their lives are worth
all nations are
less
nothing
than a penny. And though
me
assaulted, there was no repentance.
Hey, mister, dropping the vessel, nobody's gonna miss you. The earth is in mourning, your life is the issue. A rapist and murderer, stealer of lands, and all of these sins by the white man's
hey, man,
hands.
I'm smiling now while I'm reading about us stomping out y'all infants, the Africans and the Arabs in it. This is what it's called recompense. We sentiments while we tucking in our children for their bedtime story. Got a problem
when it
talks to the one who runs
the
picture,
your annihilation
is my people's salvation.
We want our own flag, we're gonna get our own flag. We want our own land, we're gonna get our own land. But keep our damn sins, keep our damn sins. Keep our damn sins, keep our damn sins.
Now, I don't care whether you clap or not, but I'm saying to you.
We got next.
Heroes are coming, coming, coming. Heroes are coming, yeah. Heroes are coming,
coming, coming.
Heroes are coming, yeah.
100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000.
Heroes are coming,
coming, coming.
Heroes are coming, yeah. Heroes are coming,
coming, coming.
Heroes are coming,
yeah.
100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000.
The Hebrews are coming. We take this thing too serious, and you Gentiles better start running. That 144 not bluffing. You claim you wasn't responsible for those dozens of millions, but that's not optional. You sold our land and took us by billions and put us on the boat to the ceiling. I'm about to pop my top because I'm feeling. Hope that I'm worthy enough and I'm willing. He can put the sword on my hand and I'm killing. Blackjack dealer. I'm dealing. I ain't no member yet, and I hope you remember that. But I got a vest, untouchable, an alien nest. We got a garment down to the foot, breastplate on the chest, with a girdle on. trying to help set the people that the Gentiles fronted on. As a matter of fact, they got a trap in the shop in the house like Home Alone.
That's right.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when I shout, shout, shout with the Hebrews. Just hold on, we going home.
Mashiach, Yahawashai, who is our Redeemer, who is our Deliverer, who is our Savior, who is our Commander, who is our General of the nation of Israel, Yahshallah.
Hebrews are coming. Coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming,
coming, coming.
Hebrews are coming, yeah.
no matter what we try to go out and do, the right plans are how we do things. But conversation was about ego, and it made me stop to think. A lot of how we operate is from our ego. We think we understand what the Father wants us to do, how he wants us to do it, how it is the spirit we're supposed to be in, the whole nine. And a lot of this is letting go of your ego, letting go of your pride. And that's kind of the question. That's been a topic I've been on for about 3 weeks now. It's been pride. Because understanding that the only thing that I've done in my pride is bring myself low. The only thing I've done in my pride is hold myself back. Because I'm listening to what's in my head rather than opening myself up to the Bible, letting the scriptures get in my mind, and then applying these scriptures and to the things that I'm doing, to my day-to-day activities. And I walk in asking myself this question. As I operate in my day-to-day activities, am I doing the will of the Father? What about this day honored the Father? And that should be where we're at every day. We should humble down to the fact that everything, every day, there's something I'm doing that is pleasing in the eyes of the Father. If it was I taught a brother this day, I studied, I opened the Bible up and I studied to work on something in myself, honoring him. I taught someone, honoring him. I had a kind word to say to a brother or sister, I honored him. Sitting in and honoring the High Holy Days, the Sabbath day, making that a priority is honoring him. And it's so easy to get caught up in your mind and thinking that you're doing the right thing and the only person that is benefiting is you. If I'm a teacher and I'm holding this information in, who are you giving it to? Who's benefiting from you and what you're doing for the Most High? And that's going to be the question that's going to keep, that we're going to have to keep analyzing ourselves. And as we get up every day, and as we live the lives that we live, and we go about our day and our evenings, from the time I open my eyes to the time I close my eyes, I got to look at my day and look at myself, ask myself, what about this day that honored the Father? What about this week that honored the Father? What about my life day to day that really does honor the Father? And if I'm still trying to do the same thing every day, I went to work today. Yeah, okay, you honored your wallet. I got up and I slept all day, man. I just laid up in my bed. I was meditating. In my leisure, I'm doing something for the Father. In your pride, you can tell yourself what it is that you think you need to tell yourself that's going to honor the Father. But in our humility, you're really making physical changes and doing certain things and now really giving your mind to focus on that next step or that next thing done, that I truly do honor the Father. So we're going to start in on how the Most High feels about pride. How do you feel about it? You know what I'm saying? And we're going to go back into the Old Testament, and then we're going to now keep looking at the scriptures to figure out when I'm in a certain state of mind, when I'm listening to me only, when I hold the thoughts in my head in high regard. What I mean about that is I hold the thoughts in my head above what's in the Bible. Or somebody could have told me that I need to change this and that, but I still do what I want to do. Or I got this mindset that I'm not doing anything wrong, and it's okay for me to not do and operate the way I want to operate or think the way I want to think, which is the slogan of America. That is the slogan of this society. Everybody believes that they can live their life any way they want to, And they can now, they can do whatever it is they want to do. They don't have to submit. They don't have to come under any authority. I'm free. That's not freedom. That's not freedom, because you're going to become a slave to something else. You know what I'm saying? But we learn that false mentality that we are free to do whatever it is we want to do. So as we keep reading, we're going to keep going into this book. We're going to keep going into this Bible, going into this, and we're going to start looking at these things and saying, okay, what is it? How does the Father feel about my free thinking? That's a good way of putting it. How does the Father feel about my free thinking? How does the Father feel about my mindset that I listen to myself, I'm right, and everything else is secondary to what I think and how I feel? I don't care what it's said or shown to me. I'm still going to do what it is I want to do. How does the Father feel about that? Because that is my pride. You know what I'm saying? That's one's pride. So, you will start with Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha, chapter 10, and we read verse 18, all right? Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, and we start at verse 18. I'm going to steal me a reader. Hold on. Okay, one second. Get my book to situate the Shire. If you want to join us,
how many people are there?
20 people. Okay. So, I had to get a little face to look at there when I go into this room, and that way I can make sure that it's understood what it is we're showing, okay? So, we're going to start Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha, right? Thank you, Shia, for joining us, man. I needed a face, Shia. I need a face to look at so it don't feel like I'm just echoing in this room, you know? But we're going to start Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha. Read along with it. Okay, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha. Wrong way.
Come on now.
No, he's going to be up here right now. Y'all bear with me. I'm trying to open my computer up, man. It's running slow. Internet, Wi-Fi. Okay. Ecclesiastes is Maccabees. Hold on one second. One second. I'll bear with me. Here we go. 10. And we're going to jump down to verse 5. Oh, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, it's 18. That's what I wanted, right? Okay, here we go. You know what? Proverbs chapter 10, and I'm going to start at verse 7. Let me start at 7. I'll be better. You start at verse 7. Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha, chapter 10, verse 7. It says, pride is hateful before the Most High and man, and by both does one commit iniquity. Hold on, I think Kabbalah is going to join us. One second. Sorry about that, everybody. So Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18, verse 7, I mean, it says, pride is hateful before the Most High and men, and by both does one commit iniquity. So is that we end up sinning in the eyes of the Most High when we're prideful. The Most High looks at pride as something that's hateful in front of him. So the pride means to be on a really high opinion of yourself. And you think that you're right, and the only thing you will listen to is in your head, that's your pride. And the Father, like, he hates that. Or it says, pleasure the one's own achievements. I'm only looking at what I'm doing. It's not what about, I glory in what I do. And not so much on the fact that I'm in that mind frame where I'm trying to help somebody else get better. Or I'm open to the words of the Father or somebody else giving me advice to something I may need to adjust and change. So the fact that I'm not that way, where I'm the type of person that does not like to be told what to do, does not like to be corrected, the Most High said that person, that type of spirit, is hateful before him and is hated by men. And by both, you end up doing wrong or you commit iniquity, you have an opinion or you're sinning in the eyes of the Father, and you're looked at as wrong in the eyes of men. I can't be told anything. I can't be corrected. I can't be shown where I may be doing something wrong. We're going to read the next verse. We don't read them down. Verse 8. It says, because of unrighteous dealings, injury, and riches gotten by deceit, the kingdom is translated from one people to another. And the Father is showing us that in that person's pride, if we're prideful, our dealings are unrighteous. But we deal with each other. If I'm right, and the only person that I listen to is me, and the only person I consider to be, I'm right, everybody's wrong. All my dealings are going to be unrighteous. It's got to be this way. It's got to be this way. It can't be no other way. And if you don't like it, you ain't got to be with me. If you can't follow, you can go. That's a person's pride. Because of unrighteous dealing, injuries, and riches gotten by deceit, the kingdom is translated from one people to another. Then the Most High end up taking it from your hands to someone else's hands because your pride is too strong. You weren't open to listen. So that happened to anybody, but it's showing you when these things happen, we lost our kingdom because we couldn't be corrected. From prophets to ever, we couldn't be corrected. So king to king that went up, leader to leader that goes up. When that man can't be corrected, that leader can't be corrected, his kingdom ended up being taken from one and given to someone else. So we're in, as a people, we're here in captivity because how we were dealing with each other, the injuries, the riches gotten by deceit, the kingdom being taken from us, and now we in servitude. So you only end up losing, trying to do things the wrong way. You only end up hurting yourself. You end up losing because you lose respect in the eyes of the Father. Verse 9, why is earth and ashes proud? That's the question. Why would he say earth and ash? Because that's what we are. We come from the dirt. He said, but why are we proud? We ain't got a pot to piss in. That's what the Most High of Scripture says. He ain't a poor man that's proud. I don't got anything, but how is it you don't have anything and you still can't listen? Or you don't think something is wrong? We adjust. We keep our pride and we adjust to the life that we live. And we can never look and say, man, if I just changed, how much more would the Father be blessing me if I just changed? Why is earth and ash proud? There is not a more wicked thing than a covetous man. It says, for such an one setteth his own soul a sail, because while he liveth, he casteth away his boss. The physical cut off, the physician cut it off a long disease. It says, and he that is today a king, tomorrow shall die. Let me get to the point. Let me jump down to verse 18, right? It was 18. I'm sorry, 13. For pride is the beginning. 8 and 13, right? It says, for pride is the beginning of sin, and he that have it shall pour out an abomination. So the more I have that spirit of pride on me, the only thing I'm going to keep doing, if I only listen to thee, and I only think that I'm right, the only thing I'm going to keep doing is the pouring out abomination. Filthiness after filthiness will keep getting poured, will keep being poured out of me, because I cannot be corrected, because I can't adjust, because I can't change, because I can't submit. For pride is the beginning of sin, and he that have it shall pour out abomination. And therefore, the Lord brought unto him, unto them, strange calamities, and overthrew them utterly. They don't coming back. There's no getting back. You never get back where you were, where the Most High bring you down. Because the pride of the Father is trying to check. These strange things happening around you. Even in your pride, you don't even be paying attention to all the signs of the things that's happening around you. Like the Most High been talking and warning for a long time, but you ain't listening. But you keep still trying to operate the way you want to operate. So the Father, like, okay, I'm just going to strip you. I'm going to keep stripping you until you figure out that there's change that's required. From there. Verse 14. The Lord hath cast down the thrones of proud princes and set up the meek in their stead. The Lord hath plucked out The Lord hath plucked up the root of the proud nation and planted a lowly in their place. You have to stop and imagine, stop and ask yourself why. For everything that we excel, for everything that as a people we outclass, we are stronger, faster, more athletic, more talented. How is it that we are the most talented people on the earth, as black and Hispanic and Mexican, you know what I'm saying, black, Hispanic, Native American. He said, we're the most talented people on the earth, from running to size and strength, athleticism. It's like everybody wants us on their team. Why is it that we're the most talented people, but we're at the bottom? For the Lord has plucked up the root of the proud nation and planted a lowly in their place. Lowly means inferior. The basketball court, they are inferior. You use teams more and more, there's more and more black. We are the more talented people. From sports education, to creativity, to music, to every damn thing. You name it, we outclass these people, but we're under them. Then how did we get there? The Most I say, he plucked out that proud nation, that the people that can't be told what to do, can't be corrected. That's why we're still sitting here in the position that we're still in, because we can't be told anything, because we can't be corrected. The Lord hath plucked up the root of the proud nation and planted a lowly in their place. Verse 18. Pride, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18. Pride is not made for man. That is correct. Servitude was made for man. Humility was made for man. Listening and following, that was made for man. Not for us to walk in our own opinions, thinking that we're doing the things right. Pride was not made for man, nor fierce anger for them that are born of woman. The one thing that was made for us was servitude. We were created to serve the Father, to let the Father guide us, to let the Father protect us. That is what we were created for. But somewhere I got in my mind that I don't got to follow the Father. I got to be independent. I got to look out for myself. I got to now think for myself. No, you're supposed to follow. You're created to follow. Verse 19, it says, they that fear the Lord are a sure seed, and they that love him and they that love him an honorable plant. They that regard not the law are a dishonorable seed. They that transgress the commandments are a deceitful seed. The Most will show you, we are the seed of the Most High when we are honoring him. That's a sure seed, the ones that fear the Lord. We have become that dishonorable seed because we have no regards for the law. We have no regards for the things that we do. We're too busy trying to figure out how to get over on the commandments. We are those people that created the ability to have a clause to the law. The law says love thy neighbor, and I have a clause for that. I love my neighbor if he's doing whatsoever I'm doing, then I love him. Clause in there. In your pride, you put that clause. The Father never said that. I'm going to love the people that are doing the work that I'm doing. You always say this, right? If the second commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself, and like we was taught, your neighbor is the Israelites that were living among you. That's the way it was broke down to me. That's the way it was broke down, and that was the truth, because that's who their neighbor was. When that scripture was read and said, when that statement was made, love thy neighbor, who was your neighbor? Your brothers and sisters, the people around you. So by understanding that, we understand the scripture and we understand who our neighbor is. And you know what we're going to do? I still don't love, I don't love my neighbor like I would love myself, because I'm not even around my neighbor. I sit alone. I don't go and check on him. I ain't even got to know my neighbors. We do the same thing with each other like we do in America. We move to a neighborhood. I'll wave to my neighbor, but when I get to know you, I mind my business. I sit in my house and mind my business. That's not the love. That's not the love that the scriptures are talking about. Man. But in my pride and in the things I'm doing, I'm only dishonoring the Most High because I believe that what I'm doing is okay. It's not wrong. And the whole time, the Most High looking at us like, nope, you are in your pride. You won't adjust and you won't change. You're not seeing that, no, that's not pleasing me. That's not what I'm talking about. When I tell you to love your neighbor, you need to go get to know your neighbor. So if there's a brother in IUIC, that's my neighbor. If there's brothers with you, that's my neighbor. That was another person I was supposed to get to know. There's supposed to be a relationship. You can't love nobody that you don't know. There's supposed to be a relationship. with the neck with my brothers and my sisters. It didn't say love my, it didn't say love thy camp member. Or we create who our neighbors are going to be. My neighbor is whoever is going to class with me or fellowshipping with me. That's my neighbor. I wish it was that simple. But the Father is going to require more. And I love one thing. These are my words. These are his words. But when we operate in the wrong mind frame, the only thing that we're doing is upsetting the Father. We're not pleasing him. In our pride, we're making ourselves that seed, that dishonorable seed. That's what we end up making ourselves. Hold that. Let that go. I'm going to Proverbs. All right. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter. One second, you guys. Proverbs chapter is 8 and verse 13. Let's try that. Check this out. We're going to start at okay, this is bad. Proverbs chapter 8. I'm going to start at verse 6, okay? It says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things." It says, "And the opening of my lips shall be right things." Opening of my lips shall be right things. So Paul said, man, or I'm not Paul, Solomon. He said, "I am going to speak excellent things. And I am the opening of my mouth, of my lips shall be right things." Right? So the focus is now, is like saying, listen, because I'm going to drop the truth on you. Listen to what I'm saying, because I'm going to drop wisdom on you. For my mouth shall speak truth. And wickedness is an abomination of, and wickedness is an abomination to my mouth. So I'm sorry. It says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. Verse 10, receive my instruction and not silver. And receive my and knowledge. So it says, receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. So you're supposed to receive this instruction and not silver. You're supposed to receive the knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Mm-hmm. All right. Nothing should be compared to it. Nothing is greater than the Father's wisdom. But when I get my spirit of pride on me, I'm not open to the wisdom of the Most High. I'm not open to allowing someone to correct me. I've gotten to that level that I'm above correction. I'm only going to have one person correcting me. And if I agree with them, then I must be right. I'm not allowing myself, and I'm not open to grow in wisdom. Wisdom dwells with purity, with prudence, and found out and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Hold on, let me. For fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So as we're reading, he's going to tell us, explain, well, what is evil? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, that's evil. Arrogance and the evil way and the forward mouth do the Most High hate. So for us to be in sync and in order with the Father, we have to learn to hate the same things that he hates. Got my reader here now. We have to learn to hate what he hates. You are. I am with myself.
Okay.
Shall I read, go to Ecclesiastes 25 and verse 2, all right, in the Apocrypha. And then I'm going to go to Proverbs 16 and verse 2, 25 and 2.
Ecclesiastes 25 verse 2.
Go ahead.
Three sorts of men my soul hated.
Read that again.
Three sorts of men my soul hated.
So there is a way to get the Father to hate you. We have to realize we're learning wisdom. I'm learning wisdom on how to stay on the good side of the Father. But Thomas said these type of men are hated. Read.
And I really offended at their life.
Their whole existence is offensive. Go ahead.
A poor man that is proud.
A poor man that's proud is offensive to the Father. Because this is a guy that won't even allow somebody else to invest and build him up. A poor man that's proud. Read.
A rich man that is a liar.
Go ahead.
An old adulterer that doted.
That keep doing the same thing he's doing. So he's an old adulterer. You want the spirit in there. He's an adulterer that stays doing what he's doing. He don't change. So the Most I look at these type of spirits, these type of men, the Most that he hates. That's bad. Is that it?
Yeah, that's basically.
Down from there, jump down to Proverbs chapter 16.
Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord.
Read, hold up, sorry, read verse 4.
Verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself. Yea, he is the wicked for the day of evil.
I want you to understand why. What is the Father gauge you to judge when he's telling us about our pride? Where does he look at? Where is he looking at? And what is he? What is he looking at to be able to say, okay, this is how I gauged a person that operates with a lot of pride. Go to verse 1. Yeah, see, you only 1 down to 5. Read that.
Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparation of the heart is man. And the answer of the tongue is from the Most High.
So that is where it's supposed to start at, right? When you answer something,
right?
When you answer something, you're supposed to use the Bible and the scripture. That's what you're supposed to have went to get the answer that you were looking for. You're supposed to be there in that book. I'm operating, and when you're in the Bible, there's no emotion there, right? It's not my words, so why would I be emotional on something that's not my words? But, you know what
happened? Well,
that's all.
you can look at and you can start figuring out, okay, how do I gauge that I'm Christ? And that this is where I'm coming from. It's my pride to stand. Because remember, understand that we understand that the Most High is trying to prepare the heart of men. And the answers of the tongues are from him. So I'm trying to prepare your mind, and I'm trying to answer that they come from you. They should come from the Bible. They should come from wisdom and understanding. Every time I answer, I have to start figuring out where did that answer come from. Did it come from my emotion or from my anger or strife? Am I arguing or am I trying to answer
all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes?
Read it again.
Verse 2. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes.
Go ahead.
But the Lord weigheth the spirit.
He said, but the Most High, look at the spirit that you bring in. You're coming in. You always going to think you're right. The Most High is always weighing the motivation. In our eyes, because I want something, I'm always going to be right because I want something. But the Most High is he's weighing the motivation, right? Go ahead.
Verse 3.
Or you know what it's all about the spirit? And the Most High weighed the spirit. What did you, for the thing that you, those, to come up with that way, to come up with that way, what source did you go to develop that thinking? All the ways of men are clean in their own eyes. That means somebody put that understanding in your mind. The Father's looking at where did that come from? Come from. Because I'll prepare the mind, the heart. But I'm going to prepare your mind. I'm going to weigh the spirit. But the Most High looking at this like, okay, when you came up with that, when you thought you were right, on what did you base this right on? Go ahead.
Verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord.
Do what?
Commit thy works unto the Lord.
Go ahead.
And thy thoughts shall be established.
So if every day, if I'm working, if I am committing my works to the Lord, then my thoughts, my action, my mind, it's going to be in the right place. I'm double-minded. My mind is everywhere. Why? Because my works are committed to the Father. I'm looking at other things that are more important, and that's what I like the Father showing. He showed that I could tell when you're out of order, because the works, the things that you're doing or the things you're thinking about, they're not committed to me. What part of this day did you give me? We king of that, right? We get up, we go to work. I'm going to get up, I'm going to get work. I get my job, I get the money, I pay the bills. The Father's like, okay, I get it. Go all day, man. I come home tired. Oh, man, I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
I need to sleep. I'm tired. I'm going to say, okay. But what part of this, of your day, was committed to me? That's how I know you're not with me. Because somewhere I'm going to fall in this equation. Even when I get up and I go to work, who am I working for? What am I working for? The Father's looking at. Is this all just about you? Yeah, that's my pride. You know, I work because I gain. I pride is the fact that, like, you know, I work for me. It's all about accomplishing the goals that I'm setting for myself. That's the world. That's what we've been in, right? You know?
Verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself.
Go ahead.
Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil.
Verse 5,
everyone that is proud in heart.
Read it again.
Everyone that is proud in heart. Read it again. Everyone that is proud in heart, that's proud in mind, that thinks they right, that can't be changed, that can't be shown, right from all, read on, is an abomination to the Most High. Hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Hey, hi. The Most High knows you can be a part. You can hold it as to say kumbaya all you want. You can hold it as to say all the Israelite Christian songs you want. The Father's still looking. Yeah, you join hands. You singing along. But I know what you are. I know what you're doing. Because your motivation is what I'm gauging. What are you committed to? Where is the commitment? Okay, from there. I want you to go to go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 23.
Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low.
Read it again.
Proverbs 25 and verse 23.
Uh-huh.
A man's pride shall bring him low.
So as we keep following, I want you to start at verse 22.
29 verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
So, an angry man stirred up strife, and a furious man abandoned in transgression. I'm sorry, abounded in transgression.
So an angry man is going to stir up what?
Strife.
Not a fight. That's the one thing we get. An angry man is going to stir up a lot of strife.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low.
What? All of the things that, what's up, look at that? Because you're angry, your pride does. It didn't work out for you. It's not going the way you want it to go. So when it's not that way, what am I going to become? An angry man. Mm-hmm. So I like to argue because, shit, my way ain't working.
So.
Go ahead.
For honor shall uphold the humble in spirit.
He said,
the
honor of the people
uphold the humble in spirit.
Amen. Go to Proverbs 13 and 10. Proverbs 13 and 10.
Proverbs 13 and verse 10.
Read that.
Only by pride cometh contention.
Only by pride cometh what?
Cometh contention.
What is contention? That's what the Most High tell you about strife. That's what we have to lead right into. All the strife and striving comes because of pride. And the fact that I'm fighting is the fighting is the indicator to let you know this person is full of pride. The fact that I'm still contending is the most I let you know what you're dealing with. There was a lot of pride, right? So it says, read that verse again. Verse, yeah.
Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10.
Read it.
Only by pride cometh contention.
Mm-hmm.
But with the well-advised is wisdom.
What?
With the well-advised.
That means a prideful person is somebody who only listens to themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't understand. But if somebody is well-advised, that person has not heard a lot of wisdom. Because he can be told what to do. He can be instructed. When we all see it, talking to somebody, trying to have a conversation, deal with them, and the whole time they argue, they're opinionated, call that what?
Right.
That's that person's pride. This ain't going nowhere. What they're doing ain't going nowhere because what the thing that they haven't gotten rid of, you haven't gotten rid of your pride. Read that verse again.
Proverbs 13 and verse 10.
Uh-huh.
Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom.
Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 25.
Proverbs 28 and verse 25. He that is proud, he that is of a proud heart, spirit of strife.
So he that is of a proud what?
Heart. Spirit of strife.
What's the word for heart?
Mind.
So he that is of a proud mind does what?
Spirit of strife.
I can't be told nothing to do. So I want to fight to have it my way. I'm going to keep picking a fight just so I can have things my way. I'm not going to bother on it just. I'm going to keep fighting for what I want. See, that is of a,
the he that puts his trust in the Most High shall be made fat.
I didn't follow my own thinking. I followed the ways of the Most High. That's the person that ended up fat. I didn't follow my own understanding of this. I gave myself to following the ways of the Most High. And you watch me increase. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 119. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Read 26. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. Now, right? Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26.
Proverbs 28 and verse 26. His own heart is a fool.
Read that again.
He that trusts in his own heart is a fool.
He said, he trusts in your own mind. The scriptures call you a fool. You trust in your pride? Most of them say you're a fool. Read.
But. Sorry, it's all stretched out about this.
But whoso
so walketh wisely, he shall be delivered.
That's the one the Most High saved it, man. Because I'm not trying to walk in my own understanding. I'm not trying to follow what I think and feel. I'm allowing someone to God guide me so that they're giving me the proper instruction so I can go out and execute. And I can get blessed for the things I'm executing. Because I humble down enough to let someone show me, not operate my pride. If I operate the place of pride, I'm going to fail every time. Who are you talking to? Who are you asking for advice?
I'm going.
Okay. Well, I'll see you at the bottom. That's basically what you're saying. Okay, well, you want to learn just the hard way. All right, go ahead, man. You grown? You want to learn the hard way. You want to learn the hard way. That's all you're saying. You want to learn just the hard way. And that's on all realms, all levels. You want to learn it the hard way. What verse do you have?
26.
Yeah, I got 26. Proverbs chapter 119 and verse 140.
Psalms
119. 140 through 144.
Yeah, so,
mm-hmm. Which one is it?
No, let's get this. Let's see the verse 1.
119.
140?
Yeah. I said 119? I'm sorry. Yeah, 119 and verse 140. I'm tripping. I'm going somewhere else.
Psalms 119 and verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth.
Did I say 140? There's no 140, is there? Oh, I'm tripping. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Goes all the way up to verse 11, 36, and then you got chapter
120.
But they're all
those
songs, looks like.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. Read it again.
Psalms 119 and verse 140. Thy word is pure, therefore thy servant loveth it.
That's the truth, God. The word of the Most High is definitely pure. There's no ill intent. There's no harm. There's none of that. The word of the Lord is pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. The Most High answers are the right direction, everything. If we follow it, we're going to love the outcome. The person would definitely love the outcome. Read on.
Verse 141. I am small and despised. Yet do not I forget thy precepts.
He said, I am small and despised, but I have forgot the Most High's precepts. Read on. What's that?
142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth.
Read that again.
Verse 142. Thy righteousness is everlasting righteousness.
Uh-huh.
And thy law is truth.
He said, your law is the truth. The fact that I'm living to keep the commandments of the Father, that's me walking in the truth. But what's happening is, we start telling folks that operate because I'm walking in the body or in the camp, I'm in the truth. The Moses said, when you're walking in the commandments, you're where? In the truth. Read on.
143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight.
Read on.
The righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live.
He said, he didn't give me money. He said, give me homes and gold. He said, give me understanding that I may live. Because we have that. We have that point that our money, nothing else is saving us. It's the understanding, the wisdom to understand the Most High is what's going to save us. I like what you asked to give me understanding, because I can read the law, but I don't understand what the Most High is doing. I can look at the examples. But I'm supposed to look at the examples and read about the examples in the Bible so I know what I'm supposed to do. From there, go to, yes, I want to teach you. Ecclesiastes. I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Did I read that? Who said verse 1? It says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but the scorner heareth not rebuke. 13 and 9.
Yeah.
Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. You read that again? A wise son heareth his father's instruction. We have gotten past the ability to listen. We're scorned, but the scorner heareth not rebuke. I want somebody to pat me on the shoulder, pat me on the back. I don't want to hear correction. That's why scripture says, cast out the scorner, and contention will cease. I have to be a person that can hear rebuke. I can hear correction. Verse 2. A man that eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul, it says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor. When you look at some of the things you're going through, some of the ways the Most High is doing things, and you're like, wait, I might be in the wrong spirit. I might be looking and doing things the wrong way. Because the more I'm looking and doing things the wrong way, I would stop and say, man, maybe I should be focused on is listening because I can't listen. So the fact that I can't listen, and I only listen to myself, all the violence around me, I may be causing the violence around me. Let's go down to verse, let me start jumping down now. We jump down to verse 10. Verse 6. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 6.
Proverbs 13 and verse 6. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner.
Verse 6, right? Jump down to verse 10.
Verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well advised is wisdom.
I'm sorry, read 9.
Verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoices. The lamp of the wicked shall be put out.
Yes, I'll show you. He said, the light of the righteous man that can humble down to the Father, he gonna rejoice. But the lamp of a wicked man, they both got light. He's gonna get put out. He's gonna put it out. Read on.
Verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention.
Only by pride cometh arguing. Contending. Arguing, or you're contending, we're competing. Look up the definition of contend.
Contend, to strive or strive against, to struggle in opposition.
So to contend is to strive or strive against, to struggle
in opposition.
I see what you're doing. I'm going to do something different. I'm struggling to be different.
To use earnest efforts to obtain or to defend and preserve. To dispute earnestly, to strive in debate, to reprove sharply.
Do what?
To reprove sharply.
Okay.
Strive to convince and reclaim.
To strive to convince and reclaim is what?
That's contend.
That's contending. Contention, right?
Yep. To quarrel, to dispute fiercely, to wrangle, and then that's it.
I'm fighting to hold on to something.
13 and verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom.
So only by pride comes people that are contending. I'm trying to get this back. I'm just trying to get something back. That's only your pride is got you going after that. And once I know that's there, that's only of a person that was more about, that's only, that was a person that was more about vain glory than they were about righteous living, or being righteous in the eyes of the Father. Read that again.
Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom.
28 and verse 25.
Can we just read that? He that is a proud heart stirreth up strife.
Do that, right?
That's 25 and then we must read 26.
Big fat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that 26, right? We read that one. Proverbs 16 and 18. you got? Let me know who read this one.
Psalms 16 and verse.
Uh-huh.
And the Holy Spirit before a fall.
Read on.
Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud.
Read that again.
Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud.
That was 18:19, right?
Yep.
Read it. What you say?
Proverbs 16 and 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he.
I like all. What's that?
That's the end of verse 20.
Let's say now, from there, go to Proverbs chapter 11. Chapter 11. And we're going to start at verse 11 and verse 2.
Proverbs 11 verse 2.
Yeah.
Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Sorry, 11 and verse 2.
Uh-huh.
When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's the same. So, what's up? So, I want to say, he said, when pride cometh, right? He said, then cometh shame. He said, but with the lowly, the humble in spirit, but with the humble is wisdom.
Right.
So, if I want to get, if I only get the wisdom of the Most High, I keep humbling myself down so the Father keep giving me wisdom. Verse 3.
The integrity of the upright shall guide them.
Read it again.
Proverbs 11 and verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them.
So what is the word integrity? Mean?
Integrity. Integrity of the entire unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind, moral soundness or purity, uncorruptness, uprightness, honesty, and then thank you.
What does it mean?
Break it down. Try to say a couple words.
Break it down a lot. Break it down. Come on, teach.
Basically, integrity, when you learn it in school, they tell you integrity is about doing things. Doing something that you would do, like say, in front of the teacher, behind the teacher's back. And not like in the sense of doing anything bad, but if you were to, if the teacher tells you guys to do your homework, or if at the study hall, you guys are supposed to do this, then your integrity, your moral ethics is telling you, okay, well, if the teacher, this person that's above me told me to do this, I'm going to do this. And then even when that person isn't there, or when that, like, there's no restraint holding me from still doing that act, I still do it. Because my moral, like, your moral compass, should be doing that anyway. That's what integrity really is, your moral compass.
Okay. So what, you know, like, so what moles? We're supposed to mold your moral compass,
or your
knowledge of right and wrong. If you know what's right, your wisdom. If you know what's right, that's the thing that's supposed to be molding your moral compass. So if somebody ain't with me, I know that what's the thing that's supposed to be guiding me? Yeah, my integrity, that moral compass, that righteousness, the fact that I know right from wrong, that is what the Most High said is supposed to be guiding me. But read on, read the bottom of 3. Perverse.
Unstated, or the immoral,
I need some water.
Look up for verse.
It was up to you. It's all good. We tell people that all the time. But who am I to judge? It's not my obligation to judge you. And you are correct.
What's like the Most High saying? Like,
it's the Father's obligation to judge you.
What's like the Most High saying? Like, it's not. Cause that's the one thing we always talk about. That's the one thing we always talk about is that your money, your worldly possessions, all those valuables that you hold here, all the financing you hold here on earth, isn't going to help you in the end times, or in the end when everybody's going to be judged. The Most High is going to tell you, the Most High is going to judge you based on your spirit, and your righteousness. And you can't buy your way into the kingdom. You can't buy your way into the kingdom. And that's where all that pride that needs to come in, because I have so much money, and I have so much this, I have so much that, I got this car, I know I deserve to be here, you know, and that's not how we're going to get to the kingdom.
You can't buy your way into the kingdom. You can't. I'm LeBron James. I'm LeBron James. What is it going to cost?
I
to get this kingdom. You know, Most I said, it's going to be harder for a rich man to squeeze through a camel to squeeze through an eye of a needle. I'm sorry, it's easier for a camel to squeeze through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom. You can't buy your way into this. Let's read Proverbs chapter 11, verse 5.
Verse 5. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way.
You got it, Jim?
The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way.
So the righteousness of the perfect, that shall direct his way. That's what's going to lead you and guide you. That's what the Spirit is going to talk to you and show you the right direction to go in. Read on.
But the wicked.
But the who?
But the wicked.
What will be wicked again? So it's perverse. Somebody don't want to, they want to always be opposite. They want to do the opposite thing.
Yeah.
But the opposite, the wicked, go ahead.
Shall fall by his own wickedness.
That's not my words. If I started smiling, it was my words. It was the Most High's words. right there. Verse 6.
The righteous of the upright shall deliver them.
He keeps bringing out the same point. How do we get delivered? A righteousness is going to deliver us. The righteousness of the righteous, of the upright, shall deliver them. Read on.
But the transgressors shall be taken in their own
darkness. That's what I'm saying. You've got to change. You think you're getting over it. I'm just being naughty. He's the best sinner is going to be taken in his naughtiness. Paul, you understand? Well, I know you understand. I was stressed out.
But you know what?
I couldn't help myself. He said, you're going to be taken that in your own naughtiness because of your pride. You keep telling yourself you ain't doing nothing wrong. Verse 7.
When a wicked man dieth,
read that again.
When a wicked man dieth,
I want to make sure that you understand what he's talking about.
When a wicked man dieth,
read?
His expectation shall perish.
His expectation shall perish. Go ahead.
And the hope of unjust men perisheth.
And the hope of unjust men is going to perish. Most High has given you nothing. Your hopes and dreams are going to perish. Everything you're trying to do is going to perish.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8.
The righteous is delivered out of trouble. And the wicked cometh in his...
Come to what? No, read it again.
Sorry. Verse 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble.
Uh-huh.
and the wicked cometh in his stead. Oh, so the wicked cometh into trouble.
Right.
I, that went over.
Right. He said the righteous will be delivered out of trouble. And the wicked is going to come, and now they're going to have to, they're going to now suffer in that trouble. Okay. So the whole time, the Most High, like, I'm trying to lead you out. That trouble that was there for you, I was trying to lead you out, but they walking right into it. Every day I'm set up with, every day you're set up with things that could happen where the Most High is trying to show us, hey, you know what? If you do this, the only thing coming to you is trouble. The trouble's going to be there. But the Most High the whole time is like, I'm trying to get you set up to avoid the trouble. But that person with the pride, that wicked man, he headed right for it. You're headed for trouble. That person, that perverse mind, can't be told nothing. You're headed for trouble. That's the end result for you. You're going to this trouble. It's crazy. It's clear.
I don't know what you do. You're going to do this.
Go to the breakout. Go to Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18.
Verse 18 of verse 12.
One second, man. Hold on one second.
Psalms 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
The Most High was his defense. Read on.
Verse 3, I will call upon the Most High, who is worthy to be praised. Who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies.
From there. Okay. Okay, chapter.
Yep.
Now go down. I want you to jump down to verse 22.
Verse 22. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from him.
David said the Most High became his rod. With all his judgments, all the laws, I never put them from me. Hold up. I want you to read verse 21. I'm sorry, yeah, jump to 21, then read down. So 21 to verse 27, all right? 21 to 27.
Folks, the 18 of verse 21.
And I'm not going to talk too much because I want this to be heard. Read that.
For I have kept the ways of the Lord.
David said, I kept the ways of the Lord, meaning I submitted to the Father's will. Go ahead.
And have not. Weakly departed from my God.
Go ahead.
For all his judgments were before me.
Read.
And I did not put away his statutes from me.
Go ahead.
And was also upright before him. And I kept myself from my iniquity.
I kept myself from my what?
iniquity.
What iniquity means opinion, my pride, my sin, myself away from my opinions. I kept myself away from my sin. Go ahead.
Therefore hath the Most High recompensed me according to my righteousness.
Why did the Father pay him back or help him or save him according to righteousness?
Because he kept the Most High commandments and did the part.
Right, and he never leaned to his own opinions. Because every time I leaned to my opinion, David did something that got Israel jacked up. David said, man, when I didn't act wickedly, when I didn't lead to my own opinions and started to now sin, but Moses said he recompensed me. He said he recompensed me according to my righteousness. So when we saved, it's going to be, my salvation is going to be based on how righteous, how upright and right I am with the Father. So the little things I do, the Father's like, okay, but if you don't want to be saved, then you know, that thing you do might just be the straw, because we don't know. We don't know what level of righteousness is going to be required of us so that we can be saved. So it's best to be upright and righteous in the eyes of the Father. Go ahead.
24.
Uh-huh.
According to the cleanness of my hands, in his eyesight.
In whose sight?
In his eyesight.
Right, so in his eyesight, according to the cleanness of my hands, in his eyesight. I don't know what he's looking at. I don't know what he's set up. So I'm going to be like, the Father, like, you know what? I had enough.
I didn't say, therefore, have the Lord recompense me according to my righteousness.
Right.
According to the truth of my hands and his eyes. But everything is Lord, the most I saw and seen from David.
His hands, there you go. Right.
He didn't help me anything.
Time. Because you look at David. David was conscious. Father was doing what?
Watching
me. So everything I do, I'm conscious that the Father's watching me. That's an upright and righteous man. That's a man that lives his life considering the fact that everything I do, the Father's watching it. Maybe the Most I don't see me. I'm going to go over here and deal with this. Maybe the Most I don't see me. I'm not going to honor the Sabbath day, man. The Most I don't care attention to me. The Most I don't care about me. David's like, no, the Most High is watching everything I'm doing, so I am going to be conscious. I got to keep my hands clean because he's watching. Go ahead.
With the merciful bow, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful.
Uh-huh.
With the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright.
Wow. Go ahead.
With the fear, thou wilt show thyself fear.
Uh-huh.
With the forward, thou wilt show thyself forward.
So what's that? That's how you're going to be? I'm going to be that way to you. If you ain't going to be pure, I ain't going to be pure to you either. If you ain't going to be upright, fine. I'm going to treat you like you're the wicked man. I'll give you whatever you want. Whatever you put out there, that's what you're going to. As a man sow, that's what y'all sow me. So whatever you put out there, the Father's like, fine, I'm going to get you back now. I'm going to give it right back to you. Go ahead.
Thou will save the afflicted, but will bring down high look.
He said, thou will save the afflicted people.
So, thou will save the afflicted people, but will bring down high look.
The Most High, that pride, that person that they're doing nothing wrong, can't be touched. But the Most High, I'm going to bring you down. Is that it? Last two. Ecclesiastes chapter 13, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 13 and 1, this is the last one, because we already read Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes 13 and verse 1, we're going to end it on this scripture, because we're looking at how the Father looked at that upright man, how the Father looked at that prideful man, how he deals, and we understand that that pride is what's pushing us away from the Father. That pride is what was bringing us down. It ain't helping you. It ain't helping you in the world. You look like you're the man in the world. But everybody in the world, it ain't even the world they're going to wake up since. You tell other people, man, what's going on in your life, man? You keep getting cursed because you're not upright. Read it. 13 and 1.
Ecclesiastes 13:1. He that touches pitch shall be defiled therewith. He that has fellowship with a proud man shall be like unto him.
Shall be what?
Like unto him.
Go ahead.
Burden thyself, burden not thyself above thy power.
You said don't burden yourself above your power. Go ahead. Don't involve yourself in something that you can't control. Don't put that on your mind. You can't. If I got a person that won't change, read that again. 13:1.
13:1. He that touches pitch shall be defiled therewith. And he that has fellowship with a proud man shall be like unto him.
He said, he that has fellowship with a proud man is going to be like him. What's that?
Proudful.
Can't hear. Well, here, that's how I know I've been around. I don't know how to listen. I've been around people that don't listen. They ain't trying to change. They don't think nothing wrong. They think they're untouchable.
I hear it, buddy.
Read.
Verse 2. Burden not thyself above thy power while thou livest, and have no fellowship with one that is mightier and richer than thyself. Have no fellowship with one that is mightier and richer than thyself. For how agree the kettle and the earthen pot together? For if the one is smitten against the other, it shall be broken.
You're going to lose.
Oh, number two.
Now you stop. That's the rest I was going to put. Number one is what we want,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Number one is the fact that I'm not even supposed to have fellowship with a man that's got pride. All of us is going to feed my pride. I'm arguing. I'm contentious. I'm breaking commandments. Because I'm around this vibration. I'm not conscious at the Most High looking at me. But that, you know, there it is, man. I'm glad Sean came, because I'm glad you came, because once I deal with my own, that it's hard to gotta get in on your own a little bit, but having someone in the class helps to definitely bring the point. You know what I'm saying? That together we bring a point. That's what teaching is. It's not the individual. It's not about just saying words, but together we're sitting down, going into the book, going to the definitions, and we're bringing the understanding. That's a power in it. And we have to continually develop and work on that understanding so that we can now still not do the things or find ourselves worthy in the eyes of the Most High, because we live in a time where it's hard to be able to see what you're doing wrong. But you understand the strange calamities, all the things happening around you. I stay in trouble. Why are you in trouble? I'm not a wicked person, man. I'm not a prideful person. I'm turning into that wicked, that prideful person. So with that, we're going to say shalom.
Right.